Thank you, Shane.
You're welcome, brother. Oh.
Amen. Don't want to terrify them. Amen. But we have to implant a supernatural seed into them. And as senior pastor, I wanted to begin to do that tonight. God's going to do something in these young people's lives supernaturally. And I believe with my whole heart. And we need to, you need to lift up Shane and Greta in prayer. That the kingdom and the fullness of the kingdom will come in their life. They have a great call in their life. And they're highly in the... In verse 9, look there with me. And we're talking, we are going to be talking about the kingdom of God, if you haven't guessed that, all right. Or you've been sound asleep since I started. Amen. Do not put that on the tape. But here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, I'm going from here to talk about the prayer of the kingdom. How do we pray? I'm not talking about prayer. I'm talking about this is more than a prayer. Prayer has to turn someplace to a prophetic declaration. Amen? And are asking Jesus that massive question is, you know, we see you leave and go and pray, and then when you come back, we see this demonstration, this power. And Paul enhances on this because he doesn't try to give us a different definition. Paul really takes the ministry of Christ and he defines it. With Jesus, we have the heart, the bones, but what Paul does is Paul puts the meat, the sinew, the muscle on the body of Christ. He defines it as it, the fullness of the Christ is there in the initial work, but he defines it. He puts definition to the body of Christ so that we therefore can walk out the revelation accordingly. And so what Paul here is saying to us is that you have to be careful. See, you have to be careful because what happens is the kingdom of God, if you're not careful, you will think the kingdom of God is found in word. And that's what he was telling the Corinthians there in the first letter to them, and I believe around chapter 2. He says to them, be careful because you'll get deceived in thinking the kingdom of God is in word. That is that, you know, I'm telling you, no, you, the kingdom of God is not telling. The kingdom of God is telling, but if all you're doing is telling and not doing, then that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, in demonstration. And until we see the kingdom of God demonstrated, then we are not seeing the kingdom of God. What we're seeing is men trying to somehow fulfill the kingdom of God by saying it, by teaching it. You can't just teach the kingdom. You got to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? So Jesus begins here in verse 9, and they asked him, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, verse 8, knoweth what things ye have need of before ye even ask of him. In verse 9, he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10 here is where I want us to begin. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so I want you to see this tonight. For the kingdom, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we are praying God's will. That's what we're doing here. See, we're literally praying God's will. So when you pray, you're praying God's will. If you're not praying God's will, you're not praying the kingdom. Your prayers have to be about the kingdom. Your prayers can't be, oh dear Santa Claus. That's not a prayer. Oh, Mr. Easter Bunny, please jump down the bunny trail and give me one of your chocolate bunnies. You know, that's not the kingdom. So when we are praying, if you're not praying the kingdom, if you're praying an exercise, it's an exercise in futility. It's an exercise in flesh. It's not an exercise in the spirit. It's not an exercise of God, show me how to establish your sovereignty, your kingdom in the earth. So if I ask anything according to his will, which his will is that his kingdom come. The question that we have to ask ourselves is this, and that is that his, it's not my kingdom, it's his kingdom. Thy, his. Amen. If you're taking notes, it's thy, not my. It's not my. Sometimes we get that confused between my and thy, but I can tell you there's a big difference between the two. So it's thy kingdom, thy sovereignty. See, thy sovereignty. Let thy kingdom, thy sovereignty, thy rule. Let your rule. See, I'm asking according to his will, but I have to ask according to his will. Out of 1 John, I'm declaring what? I'm declaring that his will is that his kingdom come, that his rule be set up in my life. But to set his rule up in my life is how many knows that you can think that you're the negotiator? How many have ever been the negotiator with the Lord? I don't have my glasses on, so I can't tell if you're not telling me the truth. So I'm assuming everybody is. Everybody negotiates. Amen? Sometimes it is, and if you're writing, it's what I call negotiation by assumption. That is that I am assuming, or I am presuming. Negotiation by presumption, that is that I'm presuming if I do A, B, and C, God will do D. And I am telling you that you sometimes can do A, B, and C, but it's presumptuous on your part. And you can be deceived in thinking it's there because you think if I do A, B, or C, then there'll be no suffering, there'll be no problems, there'll be no issues in my life. And I can tell you that's not the way it is. We are not void of problems or issues or suffering in our life. It's how that we are dealing with it, and we deal with it by the kingdom of God coming in and setting up rule in that area. Well, how do I know his rule's not there? Well, I know his rule's not there because of how I respond. See, I know if God rules in my finances because I don't have a problem giving to God. God, I wish everybody was here tonight. I just may repeat this message all over again Sunday. See, the thing of it is that I know that he's not ruling because my money speaks to me louder than what the Lord does. Amen? See, I know he doesn't set up rule in my family because there are times to where I manipulate to have my way. I whine to have my way. I throw a temper to have my way. I still got my glasses off, so I can't see what you're staring at me. If you're giving me a dirty look, or you got your tongue stuck out at me. See, we negotiate. We presume if I do A, B, or C, God's going to give me D. And that's not the way it is. God says, hey, you come in, you give me A through Z. That's how it is. Before we even start this, you give me A through Z. There is no negotiations. Because I know what's best for you. I know what is best for your life. I know what is perfect for you. I know what is good for you. You don't know. I don't let my kids dictate to me. Even at this age, my kids will tell you, they don't dictate. If you come to me, I won't tell you what is good for you. I will tell you what is good for the kingdom. Amen? And it's tougher when it's your kids. Are you listening to me? See, if we're expecting the kingdom to make logical sense, it won't sometimes. In fact, the majority of the time it won't. Why? Because God's thinking is totally different than yours. Why? Because God's trying to shape you. He's trying to mold you. He's trying to fashion you after the Son. He's trying to fashion you after the Christ. He's trying to fashion your life. And so the pressure of the kingdom when it comes, when you're praying, hey, let this 10,000 weight fall on me. So if the building falls on us, how many thinks we're going to be the same before the building fell on us? Are you hearing me? See, Jesus knew that he was not going to be the same, but he endured, listen to me, he endured the shame of the cross. He endured the pain. He carried your sicknesses. He was bruised for your iniquities. See, he carried your sorrows. See, he knew. He took the weight. The first 3 hours of him on the cross, he didn't become a curse for you. The first 3 hours on the cross, he was the spotless lamb. He had to be the spotless lamb because a curse could not give the kind of sacrifice that was needed on the cross to pay for your sins and mine and the world's. It was the last 3 hours when he began to carry your sins in his body. And he became a curse because cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. That's not the way that Jews killed people in that day. They stoned them. Want to know why? You want to know why they stoned people? Because there's millions of stones there. That's why. And God knew it. Trees are not something you run out and get. Amen? But that they stone people. But if a person committed such a heinous crime, such a dastardly deed, that committed something that was beyond reason, beyond human kindness, beyond any kind of human imagination, then they would hang that person, but they would not leave them there because even the ground they hung on was accursed. Do you understand? God allowed him to be punished and killed in the worst way that a Jew could be executed in this earth was by a tree. But Paul says in Galatians, he said that he became a curse of the law for you and I. He became a curse for you and I so that we would not have to be a curse. So the question is, why are we living a cursed life? And blaming the system, and blaming your mom and dad, blaming your teachers, blaming somebody else is not going to lift the curse. Because I'm here to tell you tonight, the curse has already been lifted. Amen? Is this all right? We're praying for his kingdom to be expanded from heaven to earth. That's what you're praying for. When you're praying for his kingdom to come, you're saying, God, expand your kingdom. But we keep thinking that, man, we need to get out. Either we're getting out or we're expanding. What are we doing? Either we're being evicted, either we're being snatched out, taken out, or God has a plan and purpose for us being here to expand. Pastor, don't you believe in the second coming of Christ? Of course I do. But when he comes, he is going to come to receive unto himself a kingdom without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. He is not coming for a ragtag, broken down old hag of a church that can't even get nothing together, don't know how to pick out her clothes, don't know how to put on her makeup, don't know nothing about a man, don't know nothing how to please, don't know nothing how to do nothing, just a ragtag hot mess. Honey, that's not the church he's coming back after. He's coming back after a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing in her. And whatever God has to iron out in our lives, whatever God has to smooth out, whatever God has to put on us to be the person and the church, that's what he is going to do. Well, I don't think it's fair. Amen? How many of your kids have ever told you that? Not fair. Huh? How many of your kids have ever said to you, well, that's not fair. They get to do that. And here's my answer. Well, you're not they. You're mine. I own you. Well, I don't think that's the right. Yeah, it is the right mentality. I paid a great price for you. I'm not locking you up in the closet. I'm not chaining you up with chains. I'm not beating you and starving you. I'm loving you and praying for you and giving to you, sacrificing my life for you. I have a right, and my responsibility is to raise you up so that you become a mature person to make good decisions and not to be a fool who can't receive correction. Something's wrong if we can't receive instruction and correction. Proverbs tells us you're a fool. You're a moron. That's where we get the word moron from, is the word fool in the Bible. If you can't receive correction and instruction, something's not wrong with me. I'm the dad. You're the child. That means that rebellion is what? Pent up in the heart of every child. My baby would never lie to me. My babies tell the truth all the time. No, they don't. I know that hurts, but it's the truth. I know the difference. No, you don't. And I'm going to tell you something. I am somebody who has, and I'm not bragging, I have tremendous discernment. God has built that in my life. My wife will tell you, even in my business, if Steve was here, talk to him. It was a gift that I had. I found out thieves, people who were frauds. I had an ability, a hound dog ability to sniff out people and discern. And I can look at people and I can tell if they have integrity. It's just God's given me that gift, not just to find evil, but also that gift is to see good in people as a pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. My kids have deceived me. And they're not going to tell you now. Let me give you a little short story here. It's going to be when you're older and you're sitting around a table and they're of age. That means they have their driver license and their car's and a key and they can drive away from you after they tell you. That's when you're going to find out. What do you mean you did that? How? When? I did. Really? You did that? And your whole world is going to be shattered there for a few. Oh, my God. And here I thought I always. No, nobody does. There's only one person who knows the heart of man, and that's God. It's the only one. Do you understand tonight? We're praying for his kingdom to be expanded from heaven to earth. All that earth entails. Everything about us. Where is it? Ask yourself the question tonight. If you're taking notes, you need to write down someplace. If you've got your iPad, you got someplace. You need to ask, where is the kingdom not set up in my life? Where is his sovereignty not set up? Where am I ruling? Really, where am I ruling? See, where is moi? That's French. 101. Where's moi ruling? Not M-A-W. Moi. Where am I ruling? I don't. Pastor, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely. No, come on. It's good here, but it's not always good here and in my feet. It's a process of surrender. Amen. And what does the process use? God uses the process of the test, the trials, the suffering. That's what Paul was talking about in Philippians when he said, that I might be more acquainted with his what? His suffering, his death, and his resurrection. That I may be more intimately acquainted. Not that I'm praying, oh God, please give me more suffering, oh Lord. Not, we don't want to be as the Catholics and the it escapes my mind. right now. But they would take, some of them would take at night when they would do their prayers, and they would take a form of cat of nine tails, and they would beat themselves in their prayers. Beat themselves. Chastening what? Doing what? Because they were praying for their sins to be forgiven, and they were chastening themselves. What foolishness. What emptiness. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all so that His kingdom could come to your life. Why, Pastor? Because God is expanding something here. Why? Because He's expanding His kingdom in every area of life so that He can rule and reign, so that His sovereignty can be there. Because He said one day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When that day comes, I want to know in my heart before He comes that I'm a son, because I know the words that are going to be there. Look, on that day, you will not be, oh, I wonder if I am, I wonder if I'm not. No, you'll know whether you're a son or not. And the words He will say, well done. This is my son. Amen? It's not genetic. It's not gender. He's not talking about males. He's talking about mankind. He's talking about man and woman, that you are a son. This is my son who I am well pleased. Good and faithful servant. Now, welcome. Come on in. You're welcome. Are you listening to me? When I used to go to my mother and father's house, as I was driving up the mountain to get to their house, not one time. I know this to be true. Karen can testify to it, but I never looked at her and said, honey, do you think my mom will be glad to see me? I know some of you got a few questions in your mind about you, okay? But I'm telling you, we're talking about my mom. And so we're driving up the mountain. I never looked at her and said, Karen, you think my mom will want me to come in? How do you think my mom feels about me? Let me tell you something about my mother. My mother can be totally in disagreement with me. Are you listening to me? And still make me fried chicken and cornbread and potato salad and make me a coconut cream pie. Do you hear me? Because I'm always in favor with her. She may not like everything I do. If my own mother feels that way about me, just because you're in a process that you don't know, your perfection is not based upon when God asked you in that day. He won't ask you about what will you do. He'll ask you, what have you done? Don't think your good works will cut it either. Just because you took care of the little kittens, amen, and you rake the leaves of granny next door, ain't going to be enough. There's only one way to get in. That's through Jesus Christ. No other way. There's no other way through except by His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. There is no other way. Any other way, you're a thief and a liar. But I don't want to dwell there. Amen? Are you still with me tonight? See, we want His will to be done here. Amen? Just as it is done there. That's what we want. Teaching the kingdom was a central theme of Jesus. That's what His whole life was to talk about the kingdom of God, to teach the kingdom, to demonstrate the kingdom. It's mentioned over and over again in the New Testament. Jesus didn't give bullet points and say, you know, kingdom is. There are things there because we can see through the Word of God. He told stories about the kingdom. Amen? He talked about the time of the man who had a great treasure hidden in a piece of land, in a field. And he said, you would be wise to sell everything you have and go purchase it. So you can see the disciples. Well, how much money you got? Is Jesus taking us someplace to buy a piece of land to build the church? He wasn't talking about land. He wasn't talking about money. He was talking about the kingdom of God. And you don't purchase it through money or through silver or through gold. You purchase it by giving everything. Everything is required. You can't hold anything back. You can't hold houses and lands and job and money and keep it and have control and lordship over those things and then say that the kingdom of God rules in your life, because the kingdom of God doesn't rule there. I don't get to choose. I'm a steward of Him. I am a steward of the kingdom. Well, that sounds like servitude. That sounds like He's Lord. Exactly. He's Lord. He's King. This is not a democracy. This is a theocracy. This is a king. And He rules and reigns in sovereignty over His kingdom. But He only rules where He can be king. Not co-owner. Not co-partnership. But that He's king. He's Lord. Amen. He hires them out. Remember the story where the landowner who hires laborers to work in his field. He hires them at different times. He said, this is, the kingdom of God is like this. And He hires these workers at different times of the day. But at the end of the day, He pays them all the same. God's economy is crazy, man. It's not like our economy. It doesn't make sense. Because we're looking for greenback. We're looking for things. But you see, the thing of it is, we as a family, I teach my family. That is how I was taught. That when I tithe and when I give, what tithe and giving is, it's spiritual. But people want to equate it to natural. Because you like the feel of that money in your hand. You like to know that your bank account is such and such. But see, the problem is that the beauty of it is that when you give into the kingdom of God, you're not giving just natural. It's natural to you, but when it goes through the veil from the natural to the supernatural, God does something with your money. And that's what a lot of people cannot understand, is that they think, well, if I give this, if I give a dollar, I'm one less dollar short. Come on. How many know people believe that? Well, and you say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because they say, how can I pay my bills if I tithe? Amen? Well, Pastor, God is hard. No, He just knows if He wants to change your life, you got to feel the weight of it. Because the image will not come forth without pressure. See, the Bible says that Jacob was created, but Israel was formed. Jacob was created by his mommy and daddy. And what he inherited was some junk. How many of you have inherited some junk from your mommy and daddy? When you come through your mama's birth canal, and you were created in her, you were given genetics, but you were given attitude too. That's why your sisters or your brothers or your cousins say, you just like your mama. Don't get mad at me. Amen. We not only inherit, we inherit it all. Why? Because, see, we think it's all genetic. We think it's all flesh and blood. But, see, you're not flesh and blood. Even though you're not born again, every man and woman, boy and girl is created in the image of God. Whether you are born again or not, you're a spirit being. And when you die in this earth, you will either die and go eternally and live in the abode of the Father, or you will die and you'll spend eternity in hell. It's not like... Yeah. Amen. Are you hearing me? Why? Because we're an eternal being. We're a spirit being. See, we're spirit. Everybody say, we're spirit.
We're spirit.
Amen? See, we're spirit. And so therefore, we inherit those things. But to stop the generational curse, to stop the curse in your life, you have to get born again. That's why when the rich man came to Jesus and said, man, how do I inherit this thing? And Jesus said to him, he said, look, he says, you know better than anybody. You know, have you followed? He said, I've followed all the commandments. He said, but this is the one thing that I'm asking you to do. Yikes. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Oh, man. I mean, at that moment, he got jacked up. How many hears what I'm saying to you? Amen. Said, yeah, well, I can understand. And he was rich, and God really nailed him good. But, hey, that's like me coming into your home and saying, look, if you want this miracle of new birth in your life, I need everything out of your checkbook. I need the mortgage to your home, and I need the titles to your car, and I need the clothes off your back. I need the shoes off your feet. I need the lint under your bed. Are you listening to me? Because that's what Jesus said to him. And he went away sorrowful. Why? Because that was his cost to be able to come into the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus said, it's difficult for a rich man. Amen? The rich man deals with the pride of riches, but the poor man deals with the pride of his self-will and his self-identity. More poor folks can't come to Jesus because they don't think God can change them because their life is too far down. Well, let me give you a clue tonight. You can't get any further down than I was, but God still saved me. I don't care how far in the gutter, God will save you. Amen? Amen. Where am I there? Sister Karen Workman. Amen. Little mama. Oh, somebody wasn't paying attention. Oh, I've got 40 minutes. Yes, all right. Praise God. Thank God. Guess what she didn't do? Punch the button. Sorry. All right, so here we are. Shh. And you guys can quit laughing. He said things like, the first will be last, and the last will be first. The kingdom of God was like a mustard seed, the smallest seed of all, but yet it would become the greatest of all the seeds. The kingdom of heaven is likened, amen, is like yeast. It permeates all silently and aggressively. You can't see it. But he still prayed, and he said, thy kingdom, God's kingdom, the rule of a king, the place of ruling, establishing sovereignty on earth. He said, let it come, to become, to come to pass, to be done, to happen. Let his kingdom happen. Our prayer should be, God, let your kingdom happen in my life. Let thy will, let it come, but let thy will be done, God's will, not mine, on earth. Where we are right now, where you are right now, you have to ask, is God ruling your life right now? Is he ruling your emotions? Not where we will be, but where we are now. As it is in heaven, whatever is going on up there is to be done down here. Heaven dictates to earth. See, that's what we miss. That's what we miss, because that's why we keep missing the portals. That's why the enemy is able. That's why the enemy is able to get things done. Let me ask you something. Do you see the kingdom of darkness running out of money? When's the last time you saw a poor drug dealer? You want to know why? Because Satan shows them where the portals are. But here we are, the church, walking around blind, dumb, stumbling around, trying to find our way out of poverty when we have the ability, if we would allow ourselves to see into the Spirit and see the portals and to see where God wants to pour out His life. That doesn't mean that is not a demise on you. That's not to throw down on you. I am saying it needs to awaken us to a new place in our lives to say, God, show us the gates, show us the portals, show us the place where you want to pour out your Spirit, your life, your monies into our lives. We pray all the time. Look, if we're serving God, we're not looking for God to give us finances to become rich. But I do believe this. The reason why we're not seeing finances is because we are blind to some things. And we're blind to them because we're more busy about looking at the world and comparing ourselves with the world instead of comparing ourselves with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I contend God's trying to show us things, but our own stubbornness, our own willfulness is keeping us from walking in that blessing. Amen? Amen. Am I boring you tonight? The Greek here in form and in tone, the Greek word here would indicate a people putting their foot firmly down and saying. So when the word here says, come, let thy will be done, the Greek form and tone of that sentence there in the Greek is a people who are putting their feet firmly down and saying, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life. It's not a people who are saying, I don't know, I hope. No, it is a people who have established themselves, who have said, I'm not going to move any further. I'm not going to be bounced around. I'm not going to be bounced around like a ping pong ball between the enemy and between my own paranoia and between my own doubts and my own fears. God, let your kingdom come. Let it rule in my emotions. Let it rule in my mind. Let it rule in my family. Let it rule in my life. Let it rule in my body. Mephibosheth was a cripple. Are you hearing me? But God still gave him a place at the table. Do you hear me? We may leave this earth halt and blind, but you know what? It's whether we have done the will of the Father. We don't have any right to be at the table. We don't deserve any right to be in the room. We have no business being there. But we have been invited. We've been invited into the room. We've been invited into the kingdom. We've been invited to the table. We've been asked to sit down and partake. We have been asked to partake of the king's meat. We've been asked to partake of the king's wine. We have been asked and invited in. We may not feel like we deserve and we have no right to be there. But pray tell, I'm saying to you tonight, but yet here we are invited in. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Quit thinking that you are undeserving. Amen? You're here. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. How much time do I got? 6 minutes? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom is not meat nor drink, as I said earlier to the young people. And I did that tonight because I wanted to have the opportunity to impart to them. Are you listening to me? They can't take big chunks, but that was the moment. And I want you to know something. The Spirit of God did. How many realize the Spirit of God did something in that moment? See, that's a portal. That's a gate. But if you're not careful, you're going to walk past the gates. You're going to walk past the portals. You're going to let your emotions, your temper, your feelings get in your way. You're going to let your anger get in your way. You're going to let your paranoia get in your way. You're going to let the past get in your way. And you're going to pass by and you're going to miss the subtleties of the portals, the gate that God has for you, the opportunity that God has for you. And if you're not careful, you'll miss that. That's why that you have to pray every day, Lord, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done in my life. Let your rule be set up. God, here's an area I realize that I struggle in, you having rule over me. Come on, you're smart people. Amen. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because you're able to be instructed. See? You're not sitting there going, who does he think he is? He ain't gonna tell me. No, you're sitting here. You're here on Wednesdays. You're here on Sundays. Fools, look, no matter who comes here, and I know the church is packed on Sundays and the people are here, but see, let me tell you something. They're going to get shocked one day. Want to hear a vision? It's like walking into the water. How many's ever waded in? And you can't see the bottom? You're like, oh, this is nice, and splash, splash. And all of a sudden, you don't realize that there's a ledge there. And it's knee-high, because there's a ledge there. There's a plateau there. But then one step, whoop! Hello, you just been baptized. Are you listening to me? And that's what God showed me. We're going to come in here on a Sunday morning, and a bunch of people are going to walk off that ledge. Are you hearing me? And they're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're going to get empowered by the Holy Spirit. But see, we have to be careful, because I tell you what flesh wants to do. Flesh wants to drive them out. It wants to scare the bejesus out of them. Well, other than we can't compromise. I ain't talking about compromising. I mean, I think by now you realize I'm probably the most uncompromising person that you've met in a long time. There's not a whole lot of things I compromise. Ask my family. Amen? There's a difference between stubbornness, but there are some things I won't compromise. I can't. But see, we can be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. You see, it's bringing them in, and the net has been spread wide. Are you listening? The net has been spread wide. Not a little hook. You know, they're cute. You know, I saw a video the other day of a little boy who had his first fishing pole, and he threw it out, and first time he throws it out, a fish bites. What do you think the chances of that happening? Big bass. One time, poop, fish bite. Well, that's cute, right? I don't want to fish that way. I want God to show me where to cast the net wide and deep. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. Let me finish. But the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. You will not find the power and the strength from natural things. See, that's what it means there, meat and drink. Because the meat and drink were for not only to gain strength, meat was to give strength, but the wine was to what? It was to awaken. It was libation. It was to give for the blood. But it was only temporary. Because what was eaten and drank would pass through the body. But he said, that's not what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God's not meat and drink. It's not in human reason. It's not in human capabilities. It's not in human abilities. But the kingdom of God is righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness. I want you to work that up in your spirit. Amen? You need to work that up this week. The kingdom of God is righteousness. It's peace and joy, listen, in the Holy Ghost. See, the kingdom of God is power to produce righteousness in your life. You can't produce it by being confirmed in the church. You can't be righteous by somebody shaking your hand. You are righteous because the Holy Spirit came and convicted your heart and drew you by the goodness of God to the cross of Calvary, and it created righteousness in you and gave you peace that passes your understanding and gave you joy unspeakable. The righteousness is the meat. Are you hearing me? The peace is the digestion. The joy is the wine. See, he replaces the natural with the spiritual, but gives you more. Are you hearing it? Amen? I want you to hear this tonight. I don't want to preach beyond it. Amen? I don't want the power of it to be found in my ability to preach. I want it to be found in the power of his word tonight. Amen? I'm not going to get through this. So in Luke 12:32, do not be afraid, little flock. God has chosen, listen to you, God has chosen to what? Give you the kingdom. I love it today. Look, you need to meditate on these scriptures. That's Luke chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 4 and 20, I quoted it early. For the kingdom of God does not consist of words, but in power. So you want something to change, right? How many have said, well, I want this change? I'm going to put my glasses on now. Why? Why won't this change? Why does this keep happening? Because God's trying to produce something in you. So he pours you out from vessel to vessel. Paul put it this way. He said, the fire comes and it burns up the wood, the hay, and the stubble. You aren't destroyed. But what is wood, hay, and stubble, how you have built, and whatever is wood, hay, and stubble is being burnt up in your life. I know some of you think you got a forest fire going on in your life sometimes. Because that all that seems to happen is burning. But you can't dwell on the wood, the hay, and the stubble. You have to dwell on the fact that out of it, God's going to reveal the gold in your life. See, you keep dwelling on the wood, the hay, and the stubble. You keep dwelling on those things. And God says, if you give me rule in that area, I will take care of it. Why? Because I'm trying to produce an end result. God's trying to produce something out of you. And he can't do that. Amen. By nothing happening in your life. See, stuff happens, but if nothing's ever produced and nothing ever comes out of it, and all you do is get bitter and mad, life just stinks, man. Stuff's always going on in my life. Well, you know what? The more stuff going on in your life is because of the greater gift and the greater thing that God wants to produce out of your life. I know God wants to produce a great ministry. No, not necessarily. First and foremost is to produce a Christ likeness in your life, and that you don't even realize how many people you're being a witness to and influencing for the kingdom of God. It's not for your pleasure. It's not for your will. It's not for your ministry. It's for the kingdom of God. And you may never stand behind a pulpit. You may never achieve greatness. You may never be a multimillionaire. You may never be those things. But if you maintain the kingdom of God in your life, righteousness, peace, and joy, and everywhere you go, you spread the kingdom of God and you demonstrate the kingdom of God, you are doing the will of the Father. Amen. And that's what it's about. Amen. I had it so screwed up for so many years. My identity, it was all about me. It's not about you. It's about him in you. And him trying to get out so the world can see him instead of you. And me. Amen? Because you know, you'd make it about you if you could. Amen. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's a good news. It's not the bad news. God's producing the good news on the inside of you. And in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross, it is the manifestation of the power of God. What is the message? The message is God is trying to produce the kingdom in you. Amen. It's about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen? Amen. I'm finished. Because the next part, if I get into that, it's a whole other thing. Amen. Did you receive something tonight? Amen. I told you, something has shifted in the spirit. May you